This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Despite vaccinations, there's a new indication that the office-home hybrid pattern of work is sticking around. I'm David Brancaccio. In a closely watched indication of the post-pandemic future of work, Facebook is giving more employees the option to keep working remotely. It's announced a new plan in a memo to staff yesterday. Workers can ask to be remote or choose to come into the office at least half the time. CEO Mark Zuckerberg said he plans to spend part of his time working remotely well into 2022, which sends a key signal. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on the influence of CEOs' personal actions.
Come to work 3 days a week. Come only for meetings. Come whenever you want. A lot of company leaders have been announcing plans for hybrid workplaces, but business strategist Callie Williams-Yost says executives need to model the approach they want to make it work.
If leaders are in their on-site offices, no matter how many times that leader says, "I do not care, this is just my personal preference," people will think that's what it's expected.
Simply allowing remote work won't be meaningful if the boss sticks to the corner office, says Sarah Sutton, the CEO of FlexJobs.
They will be still implementing that historical norm of FaceTime measurement, that they need to be there to be seen, to be measured.
She says leaders who work remotely will also have better insights into how to engage workers who can't be on site and which activities are just better in person. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Stocks, the AEX index in Amsterdam is up 0.2%. Here, the S&P future is up 3 points. The Dow future is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ future down 0.3%. After the Colonial Pipeline computer attack for ransom came the hack on the biggest meat processing company in the world, JBS. The Brazil-based firm had to briefly halt operations in many locations, including Canada and Australia. We knew JBS had paid a ransom to get control of their computers back, but now we know how much. $11 million. Why did JBS decide to pay? Here's the BBC's Rory Gallimore.
Cyber breaches like these often leave companies scrambling to assess the damage before being drawn into the shadowy process of negotiating with the attackers. JBS's chief executive in the United States, Andre Nogueira, described the decision to pay as very difficult, but he said it was the right thing to do to prevent any risk to customers. The transaction was reportedly made using Bitcoin. JBS says its investigation so far show no data has been compromised. Last week, the FBI blamed a notorious group based in Russia for the attack, saying it was working to bring the hackers to justice.
He's with the BBC. What do we want out of the economy? Well-being is one answer. Also, the ability to bounce back when things go wrong. Resilience. Ahead of tomorrow's Group of Seven summit that President Biden's attending, a group of economists and other experts were invited to look at ways world leaders could build resilience and with it rebuild trust in institutions the public often sees as failing. One of those who helped craft a resilience agenda for G7 leaders to consider is Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the liberal-leaning think tank the Roosevelt Institute in New York. Ms. Wong, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
The topic is resilience. This is something that has been discussed among policy experts for years. Do you think this is going to become more official, that we want a more resilient economy?
I do think, David, that it's time for a new vision for economic resilience for the entire planet in this post-COVID era. And I was fortunate to be invited to sit on an expert panel with representatives from all G7 countries to consider this question in advance of the summit in Cornwall that's coming up.
resilience. I mean, we've covered it over the years, but you know, things will happen, and you don't want it to pop the economy every time a thing happens.
Well, one of the things our panel is putting forward for the G7 leaders is something we're calling a Cornwall consensus. That's in contrast to the old Washington consensus of the late 1980s, which was one way of thinking about globalization that made many of our international economic interactions very thin. The Cornwall consensus is something that really looks to multilateral cooperation to solve real problems for real people. Fighting global pandemics is one of those things. But we're also arguing for things like more economic inclusion. Access to the COVID vaccine is one important part of inclusion. We're also arguing for better governance, uphold labor standards across the board, that we invest in a greener economy.
Right, this Cornwall consensus, I mean, how far do we take it? As World War II was coming to an end, 1944, they gathered up in New Hampshire at Bretton Woods and reordered a lot of global economic relations. Is this at that scale, do you think?
I think we're at that moment. You know, we are suffering from COVID and climate and an overall distrust of governance. And this is a moment where leaders and countries can step up to show that we can actually collectively manage our risks better. We can actually create stronger supply chain in, say, semiconductors to make sure that we'll have the parts that we need to build a decarbonized economy. I am hopeful that we can make this happen, and I am certain that we have the vision, at least, to put forth on the world stage.
Felicia Wong, President and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
This G7 is in Carbis Bay, Cornwall, UK, where President Biden and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson are set to meet later today, when we may hear more about a timetable for reopening travel between the UK and the US. As for Carbis Bay, you've heard of the Pirates of Penzance? Well, you go to Penzance, and then you head north about 9 miles on the B3311. There's your Cornwall G7 Summit. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.